And it is 12:30 in Port Townsend, Washington, on your community radio station, KPTZ 91.9 FM. And it is time for Brewocracy Now with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, always taking your questions. You can always join in. The instructions are on our website at kptz.org. We do this every Thursday, and so good to see you again, John. How are you?
I'm good, Tim. Good to see you too. And I must say, dear listening audience, Tim looks amazing in a checkered sport coat.
You know, it's the secondhand sport coat works well for me during this time of year.
Dapper
works for me, John. You, as usual, are always looking dapper. Today is no exception. And I was wondering, with everything that's been going on, all the moving parts in this city, and all the weather that we've been having, what's taken up most of your time when it comes to city business this week?
Oh, this week, gosh, I have to admit, sometimes it's a blur. So I'm hopeful that if you're listening to this, it's not on a cranked handheld radio. So hopefully power is back on where you are. Every time we have a storm, I immediately think to people's safety, and then quite quickly, secondarily, to those who are working to either protect safety or to get things like electricity or whatever it might be back on. And those crews work hard, and they're not just all city crews. So a huge hat tip to the extra work that I'm just learning more details about as the details come in. A lot of trees down, obviously the power is out. We've had some interesting flooding. So luckily I don't think anything major, but you know, it took a lot of work to get things kind of tidied up. So thanks to those who did that. I guess for me this week, you know, we were supposed to, in that vein, we were supposed to have a city council meeting on Monday. And you can imagine when the power went down and I'm sitting in a room with department directors saying, okay, how are we planning for tonight? It was a dynamic conversation. Luckily, we've got great partnerships with the PUD. And so literally Kevin Street, the general manager of the PUD, sent me a note saying, this is what we expect. We can't predict it perfectly. So we had some degree of understanding that at least the power to City Hall was not going to be out all afternoon and evening. That said, some people's power was out. So we made the call that, you know, if only half the community can access a city meeting, that's not the best kind of democracy. So we postponed the meeting. We started the meeting and then adjourned it until next Monday. So that was a fun start to Monday. That was only moments after being in about 3 hours of negotiating conversations with the union about our collective bargaining agreement. So that took up a little bit of Monday. We also managed to have some good conversations with the state about technical assistance around housing. We've been talking mill agreement for quite some time. I've caught up with council members. I've talked to housing providers. We talked about economic development as the public sector cabinet yesterday with my colleagues at the Port PUD and County. I've talked to most city council members this week, I think. I've talked to all incoming council members elect this week. And I'm sure I'm missing some things, Tim, but I guess I just wanted to at least highlight a couple issues for the community. One is what's on that agenda for last Monday and next Monday. So if you haven't checked it out, I would suggest, you know, we're talking about budget. That's kind of the big kahuna where the rubber hits the road on what we do for this coming year. We're also talking mill agreement. So that's now out into the public in some degree of detail. You'll notice a 132 page packet. And to make it easier on those who don't want to read through all 132 pages, I'm happy to talk a little bit about what that mill agreement looks like. And then, of course, we've been wrapping a few things up, like the salary commission's work. That's not something we directly determine. It's up to the commissioners who were appointed. But of course, my team staffs that, and the clerks and the city attorney were an integral part of that. So that's kind of what this week looks like. And it's only Thursday, Tim.
Well, that's quite the roundup of events, John Morrow. And Well, I suppose I do fall into that group of that doesn't want to read through 135 pages of of mill agreement. But since it's out there, can you give us just the highlights?
Yeah, sure, I can. I mean, that's what I was trying to do. I mean, let's just go back into the history books here. I mean, we haven't had a new agreement since 1956. So that's the current lease was done well before I was born, and only, you know, honestly, when my parents were kind of young. That's a lot of time. And we've had the current agreement and extended it until the end of this year. So it expires on December 31st. So we've been really pressing to get something complete that is a bit of a reboot of what we were calling a lease, because it was technically a lease. We're calling it an agreement now. So there's some nuances there. But really, this is a big opportunity for us to work with the mill to ensure that we have reliable and affordable water for pretty much ever. And so we haven't, let me be clear, we have not finalized agreement. We've been working in good faith with the CEO and the CFO of the Crown Corporation. We've been doing that for a number of weeks, a number of months. In fact, past 2 years, we've been working on this negotiation. So there's a lot that goes into this. I think that the listening public might remember a couple of Zoom meetings we did, presentations about the history of the mill or how the water line works. It's fascinating stuff. And I know, Tim, you're right up in the group interested in how this 1928 era pipeline that's 29 miles long works. But in the agreement, and there are a couple big things. One is that we need to have both a management and a replacement strategy for that water pipeline. You know, that some of those pieces of pipe went in 1928 and haven't been really touched since then. They're at the end of their useful life. And if we want to be guaranteed steady water supply, we need to think through how we replace some of that pipeline in high risk areas. So that doesn't happen magically. It takes money. And so the agreement we're trying to work out with the mill has a use-based fee and a sinking fund for capital projects that the mill pays into on a scheduled basis that we replace that pipeline and the infrastructure. The idea is to actually gather quite significant funds to make that replacement, because that first phase of replacement, that 1928 pipeline, is roughly $40 million in value. It's really predicated on water use. So both the city and the mill will meter our use and allocate our costs based on how much we use. And those listening might remember that on an average day, we use about roughly and Ian Jablonski and my water team will probably correct me at some point, but we use about 1 million gallons. I mean, of course, summer is different than winter, and the mill uses about 9 or 10 million gallons. That's quite a big differential. And so you'll see that there's a rate that's based on water use that allocates cost accordingly. So it's not a 50-50 split. It's more like a 90-10 split based on the mill's water use. And there's a couple other bits and pieces, how we determine the cost of water. There's, limitations in use, because what if we have a dry year? What happens? Making sure that we, have ability to repair and improve during low use periods, et cetera. But, it's a pretty bulky document to get through. It's about 22 pages long. And then all the white papers we've done over the last year are part of the appendix. So that's kind of the basic overview. And it's all available at the city website for you to look through. And like I said before, it's evolving and it's changing. Literally, we're talking with the mill in another hour about the next iteration, but it's now in the public realm, which I'm very pleased about.
Well, I suggest that there's probably somebody out there that will read all 135 pages of that. And like you said, it was negotiated last in 1956, which by coincidence is the year that I was born. And I have significant wear and tear myself. So I totally understand that these things need to be maintained. I'm not very good at doing that personally, but my hat's off to you and your team. So, yes, you're right. I am. I have an unnatural fascination with a lot of these processes, water, sewage treatment. And during times like we had last week, I'm just happy that we didn't have sewage flowing into yeah. the port of the Bay of Port Townsend. And, yeah. you know, these things most of us don't worry about. You, on the other hand, have to. We need to keep these processes going as healthily as we can. I suppose in Port Townsend, we're a little bit blessed when you look around what's happening in BC and up in Whatcom County. Yeah. We don't have a single free-flowing creek or river within our city limits, which may be to our benefit. I don't know. I'm not a hydrologist, but...
Well, I mean, you know, those waves were looking pretty mean. I think it was Monday morning. I went for my, you know, a normal run. And I think I see some of the folks listening, walking, you know, at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I ran down to each of the piers. I have this little, every other day, I run down the end of each of the docks and just kind of look around, even though it's dark. And I actually, for the first time in my couple years of doing that, felt rather terrified. Because the wind was coming out of the south, it was dark, and the waves were, you know, kind of like 8 to 10 feet and kind of really broken. And this was low tide, and there was salt spray coming up onto the pathway and the road. And I think only because the wind shifted more toward the west and the north did we not have a major flooding issue with storm surge in downtown. So yes, we do not have free flowing rivers, like you say. Could be good, could be bad, but we have a heck of a lot of coastline. And if we you know that we've been hit before and it's caused pretty significant damage. So that's something to think about.
That is a fact. And if you are like you're city manager here in Port Townsend, you get real close to the weather, because last time we did this live, we had a downpour outside, and I went to hop in the car to go home, and John Morrow hopped on his bike.
I got so wet after that, Tim. I have to say that was an unusual amount of water coming down in about 5 minutes. By the time I went to City Hall before I came home on that day off, and I was soaked.
It was a bloody cloudburst. Yeah.
I also say, you were talking about stormwater. I mean, it's fascinating. You know, we at our wastewater treatment plant, at least, I was given a tour to our state representative, Steve Theringer, on Friday morning, along with Public Works Director Steve King. We're taking him to some infrastructure. And of course, you know, if Steve's listening, thank you for your leadership and your support of Port Townsend and the funding flows. We bumped into some of the wastewater team who were checking the Gaines Street pump station. And they said they were checking that because, you know, obviously we need to keep tabs on things in high flows. And they said that, you know, they got a half an inch of rain at the treatment plant site, and usually flows about 1 million gallons out. It was flowing more like 2. So it was rocketing out at the treatment plant. And I asked them, I said, it's a setup. I said, when's the last time we had a permit violation? And they kind of scratched their head. They said, I think it was 24 years ago. So the team does an awesome job keeping us in on the right side of that with a state permit.
All good. And, you know, I've really noticed a really an outpouring of gratitude for city workers, and especially PUD, after events like this, that people really realize how these folks are essential in keeping us up and keeping our freezers freezing during the times when, you know, we could have a significant outage for quite a long time.
Indeed.
Well, and so thank you for me personally. I want to thank all those folks, really.
Thanks to the team.
We have another thing coming up, just something I've gleaned out of the newspaper here recently. Tent. We're thinking of a tent, right? Down on Tyler Street.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, sure. Oh gosh. I let me think. That in some ways that goes back a long ways. So it went back to the first iteration of the Intergovernmental Collaborative Group, which is Port County, PUD, and City. And we had, coincidentally, there's a meeting this evening of all 16 of our elected members and administrators like me, 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. It's virtual. You can see it on our council schedule and the link and all that. And we'll be discussing economic development. But in that first iteration of the ICG, we were looking at how we respond to COVID and think about resiliency in the face of a pandemic. And at that same time, we had CARES Act money come in from the federal government, and city and county just agreed to pool the funds, work through the ICG, and allocate with huge help from community members who are doing a deep dive into broadband and childcare and, you know, food resilience and all sorts of great topics. And those small awards were awarded out to groups and ideas that came out of that process. The tent was one of them. The tent was one of them that was complex because there was an arts and culture group. I think it was headed up by our very own Mayor Michelle Sandoval. And, you know, they were thinking through, okay, after the pandemic or even during, how do we get people to gather safely and support, you know, the events and the nonprofit community here that provides so much and value. And a tent was one of those things because a tent's often used for outside of a pandemic for events. I'm thinking about the Wooden Boat Festival or Thing or whatever it might be. And so there was funding allocated for purchasing tents. Now I'll fast forward through the complexities of getting that figured out and signed and sealed and delivered, but the Production Alliance is now the operator of that that tent. And there's a schedule of events that, you know, for the first year or two, I think, it rolled out to kind of say, okay, it's going to be deployed here, here and there. And then after that, I think it's a little bit more by request, but there are two projects that collided at the same exact spot, because at the same time, Port Townsend Main Street was looking at beautifying and adding some value to the Tyler Street, you know, to that plaza. And we're about to think about how to install lights with lodging tax funds, and PT Main Street's been just awesome champion on this. Especially in the darker days, you know, when it's 4:30 and it's kind of dark, if you're going down to get a cup of coffee or a slice of pizza, it's awfully nice to have it lit. So anyhow, we took this through and noticed that if we just augmented the design to put some reinforced bars there, that's a great place where you could actually put the tent without having ecology blocks and lots of concrete. So we kind of took the tent idea and put it on top of the lights idea, made sure they were compatible, required a little bit of extra spend, I think. PT Main Street did fundraising for that. And we'll see a tent there for some duration of time, I believe, in the new year.
Well, you know, I like the idea. Anything that brings us together is good in my mind, as long as it doesn't end up out in the bay during the wind.
It's
a very windy spot. So I'm sure that will be engineered correctly. You know, when we think back, you know, the word pandemic, just the idea that we've been in this pandemic for so long, but when we look back, when we roll it back past a year, I was listening to the KPTZ community calendar, and it went on for, you know, 7-8 minutes. A healthy community calendar, things going on in town. There was a time when it was about 2 seconds long because there was absolutely nothing happening. So it's good to keep in mind that we are slowly and carefully clawing our way back to getting together as a community out there for all these events that we all look forward to. And I think you're absolutely right. When it's dark at 4:30, it's nice to have a little light so you can see people's faces.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Well, more to that soon, and
The Intergovernmental Collaborative Group, now I may have heard this wrong, also going back to the community calendar, is this the last meeting?
It'll be the last meeting of this year. The group tends to meet quarterly, although sometimes that schedule gets a little bit off with either holidays or, we're not going to meet, because that's a lot of political capital right there with all our local elected officials. So I think the last one was delayed or deferred until now. But as part of the joint, I think there's going to be a reaffirmation of how that group works with some minor tweaks to the enabling resolution. That's a joint resolution by all of the four governing bodies. And I think the intent is to continue meeting quarterly. So, of course, the Port Commission and the County Commission and the PUD Commission and City Council meet regularly. And of course, we talk all the time. I literally see my counterparts of those agencies multiple times a week. And it's a lot of fun. But the elected men, and of course, the elected members talk to each other. But in a public meeting to get everybody together to talk about shared interests, shared investments, and shared direction, It's been really amazing to watch. And I mean, not to toot our own horn, because there's so much more we need to learn and other ways we can adapt. But I mean, the governing agency that I belong to as a city manager nationally awarded us a strategic leadership and governance award for that concept. So we must be doing something kind of right to bolster the relationships amongst agencies, bring the public closer to the decision making, and actually, like we did for the COVID plan, basically write the community volunteers' thoughts and research and work into a plan to enact. So I'm hoping to see more of that in the coming years.
And so am I. I think it's worked well, and I think that it's borne fruit over the past year to have this kind of collaboration, not the least of which on the Gateway Project, which still generates a bit of controversy. But I do think that having everybody at the table will give us a better plan. And thank you so much, everybody involved with that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we only have a few minutes left. I think we've hit the high points there, although I do the salary commission findings.
Sure.
That is the discussion that was postponed. Is that correct?
No, that's actually one that won't necessarily come to council because it's not a council decision. So the salary commission was appointed by council as independent citizens who were tasked by law to review and determine council compensation. And they could have pared it back, they could have tripled it, they could have, but they did a lot of work, I have to say. There's a report on our website that details some of the work they've done. They looked at annual consumer price index and salaries of comparable officials in comparable cities. They interviewed all the council members. They did a ton of legwork and debated this openly as part of commission meetings that were open to the public the last, several, I think two or three months. And so their determination was filed just about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago. And really what it does is it says, there's a fine line between, city council in Port Townsend is a community service ethos to it. People aren't in it to make money. I could, at least since I've been here, I could squarely say that that's not why they're in this work at $500 a month. But at the same time, there's a desire to make sure it's accessible to those who are putting in a lot of time. I mean, council members, I know I say this a lot, but it's entirely true. They talk to me a lot. They talk to the public a lot. They review materials a lot. They sit on other committees that have that aren't under the city council. So they put tons of time into this role. And the desire by the commission, at least, was to say, look, compensation doesn't match that. And it doesn't match inflation. It hasn't been updated since 2007 or actually before that, I think 2005 or four, I think for council and then mayor respectively. So they put forward a proposal that it'll come up. It'll be $700 a month for a council, $1,025 for the mayor, and that'll adjust up by about $25 or $50 each year or every couple years rather for the next until 2028. So, I mean, I think I don't get a say in this, and nor does council. But if you want to learn more and hear the rationale, you can go to the website. Salary Commission is a tab on the government site of cityofpt.us.
Great advice from John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager. And John, we're at the end of our time. Just so everybody knows, we're taking Thanksgiving off, right?
I think we are.
We are.
And happy Thanksgiving early to you, Tim, and everyone listening.
Same to you. I hope you have some quality time with the family out there. As everybody, I'm always here because I'm a Thursday DJ. So I'm here on Thanksgiving, and KPTZ, as usual, will be here for your Thanksgiving preparation. And but without John Morrow, but he will be back. And make sure you send your questions to John Morrow at his city website, which always escapes me.
It's Jay Morrow, JMAURO, at cityofpt.us. And I will, anything you send in by email, I'll try to get to on the next broadcast.
There we go. Thank you, John. And thanks, Tim. See you 2 weeks from now.
Sounds great. See you soon.
Okay. Bye.